Today, we're visiting Diamonds Are Forever and Octopussy filming locations in the United States with Matt Sherman. Hi, this is Dan.
And Tom.
Of SpyMovieNavigator.com and our show, Cracking the Code of Spy Movies. Your spy movie agents bringing you the best coverage of spy movies in the world for almost 5 years. Our goal is to enhance your viewing experiences. Okay, let's go. So let's talk about the Diamonds Are Forever scenes from Las Vegas. There's much to see here from this movie and when you visit Vegas. This is an interesting place to visit for filming locations as Las Vegas is constantly changing. Aside from a few of the locations, especially on the Las Vegas Strip, buildings have been replaced.
All right, yeah, Dan. In fact, one key building that James Bond stayed in, the Tropicana Hotel, is going to be demolished to put in a baseball stadium. And once this is gone, most of the old school Las Vegas Strip hotels are going to be gone. Anyways, the news about this made me realize we never did an episode on the filming locations in Las Vegas. I took Matt Sherman's excellent tour, the All-Time High Tour, in 2021. And he took us to Las Vegas for these Diamonds Are Forever locations. And we also went to Utah to see some of the places they filmed Octopussy.
Hey, that's terrific, Dan. All right, so we thought, what's the best way to talk about this? Well, it's to bring Matt Sherman back on the show to help us out. Matt runs BondFanEvents.com. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you so much, Tom and Dan. I'm delighted to be here, that's for sure. You guys are doing so much for the fan community, and you're always posting fantastic Bond and spy locations and interviews, and I appreciate what you do.
Well, thanks, Matt. Always fun to hang with you.
Good absolutely. Stuff. Right back at you.
We got to go again.
All right. Now, when we did this tour, we went to both Utah for the Octopussy stuff, and we did the Diamond stuff. And we actually did most of the Utah stuff first. But I think today, let's keep on Diamonds Are Forever, and let's talk about some of the places there. Now, obviously, there's the big places like the Slumber Inc. Funeral Home and the Tropicana Hotel and Casino and the White House. These movie features are real places in Las Vegas with different names, except for the Tropicana. So I was thinking, let's go through these in the order they appear in the movie.
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, the first place I think we need to start is when Wint and Kid are in the desert and they kill Dr. Tynan. And this is an area, it's desert area north of Las Vegas. And it's the population comes right up to right before where they filmed this thing. Now, Matt, what I want you to tell me is, how the heck did you find this place?
I, in anticipation of talking with you guys today, I was thinking about Las Vegas and realized I'd been there multiple times and on six different occasions to go to Bond locations. That was part of the family vacation or leading a group around. And Wint and Kid are supposed to be in South Africa and the opening of Diamonds Are Forever. Right. I assumed it was near Las Vegas. I talked to Bruce Glover, Mr. Wint, every so often. He's done a couple of events with Janine Sherman and me with Bond Fan Events. Yeah. But I'd rather find a location of my own and then call him up and say, hey, I know you were here at Tula Springs Recreational Area, right, whatever. So I had really actually given up on finding Wint and Kid. The long story short is I did one more Google Maps, fly into the sky, saw a mountain curve that I had seen getting glossy-eyed looking at these images and screenshots for a million years. I mean, no exaggeration. I probably looked for South Africa for like 20 hours.
Wow.
Just Google Maps, because now, of course, Google Maps are usually from the road. And so if you're going to a mountainous region, right, it's blurry. So I triangulated, I found it. I did some more work for a couple more hours. I screamed at my wife, Janine, come on over here. This is exciting. We went in person before we ever took a group. We pounded the flats for a couple hours. And Greg Van Cott, who you know from All Time High, The Adventure, he's even been there recently, kind of following up on what we did, because the Tula Springs National Recreation Area is a famous place that used to be underwater.
Okay.
And has woolly mammoth skeletons and panther skeletons. And so he went further afield than even we did in the group, looking for things like, what's that big triangular rock that's next to Dr. Tynan when he pulls a motorcycle? But long story short is, it was serendipitous. And it was one of those things I looked for 2 hours at a time for days on end.
Wow. Yeah, because this amazing one, and then I'm going to talk about another one that, right, again, was a desert scene. It's like, how the hell did you find that?
I mean, well, it's not how I found it. It's why did I find it? What is wrong with me? And again,
we're Bond
I went back
fans,
recently.
We're nuts.
We're Bond fans, we're nuts. We're spy fans, we're nuts. We're always doing
movie
Bond
location
spy
stuff is cool.
I don't know how many y'all have been to, but I did an update or an audit, like really quickly looking at Jamaica. I did a tour there, looking at Mexico, whatever. And I go, Janine, you and I, sometimes more me so than you, but we've been to 1,000 James Bond book and film locations, 1,000.
Wow.
In 5 continents, 17 or 18 countries. That's wrong with us? And we had a good time.
It's a good excuse to travel.
And it is a good time. There's something special about being on the same location as a major motion picture like Bond and the filming locations. I mean, it's just a thrill. It's fun.
Okay. Super thrill. You set the scene and you know there's hundreds of people there, media and crew, not just James Bond. And you get to really see a city. And in Las Vegas, the hook was, you know, there's 25 James Bond locations, not 5 or 6. How do you dig them all out? And it took a while.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool. You found this place. We've got this landscape. You can see here from this landscape. We talked about the fact that it's a desert landscape. How do you find it? It's north of Vegas. And you can see that Quint and Kid walk off holding hand in hand. And so here we have a picture of two of the people who were on our tour walking hand in hand into the desert.
Yeah, but yeah. So if you're, watching this on our YouTube channel, you're seeing this. Okay.
And when they do that, take a note of the background. And look at how the landscape is identical in both of them. Granted, they're zoomed in differently, but that's really one of the key things you find, Matt, when you find these things, is you look at that landscape, right?
That's right. You're looking at mountains. You're looking at foreshortening because the camera makes distant objects appear much closer to give texture to the scene, like a painting. And we triangulate from all points. So it's in that picture, looking at the mountain, say, to the west, right? Mm-hmm. And the high peak was hard to find because it's actually in Arizona, not Nevada, where I started looking. And to the southwest, there are the edges of what we would call the Red Rock Canyon recreational area. You can't see it through the houses. So again, it was going up into space, looking at Google Maps, triangulating.
Yeah.
And I found it, and serendipitously, another fan found it, and he disagreed with my exact location, but we were on the same line.
Okay.
On the same, you know, longitude line. So it was like confirmation.
Yeah, you were both I think you're like a block apart or something, 2 blocks apart, I think.
A little bit more, but the cool thing about Greg surveying the area, he's a big fan, a big Dumb's Forever fan, was understanding the local landscape and the greenery has changed and how it changes in a desert and yada, yada, yada. And it's just a cool place. And when you go there and you touch the Tula, they crumble apart under your hands. Mm-hmm. So you can try to bring part of it home, but it's going to become a bag of dust. But, you know, I just wanted to run naked through the forest and be stung by a scorpion. I just wanted to do that. And for me,
thank you for not doing that while we were there.
That would have really killed the tour. But on a serious note, it's so cool because you're standing there and you love the Vegas scene and you're in this cool spot that looks like the moon. But you're also in South Africa, which is a longer trip. And it's just so cool.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing finding a filming location in a desert. Bravo.
And the fact that they use, here's this desert. Nobody will know that's not really where we're supposed to be. So it's kind of cool.
Correct.
All right. So let's jump to something that's probably a little more easier to figure out. And that is the airports. So after that scene, we have to jump forward until James Bond arrives in America. And the airport he lands at is actually LAX, Los Angeles Airport. And you can tell that because of the control tower thing that kind of looks like Stromberg's lair, right? But one question I have for you, Matt, and because I can't remember it, when Bond is talking to Leiter and you see the background, is that LAX or is that part in McCarran?
The body with the diamonds, elementary, my dear Dr. Right. Leiter, that's LAX. Okay, and then they start to head out to Vegas.
Yeah.
So they want to sit in the front, Mr. Franks. It's much more wide in the front, Mr. Franks. LAX.
Okay, so that's all LAX. We see McCarran later in the movie, right? So we're at LAX. They get into the car. They start driving. It's about a 4 to 4.5 hour drive from LAX to Vegas, right? And so we know that they drove to Vegas instead of flew into Vegas, because they passed that sign that says, welcome to Nevada. Now, this is another one of these locations that you found that just blows my mind. Right? Okay, so we're driving away from Vegas towards LA. And Matt says, okay, we're going to pull over right here. We're on the side of this road. We're like, what the hell is here? And we can see, you see the shot when the car's driving Bond into Vegas. You see the sign for Welcome to Las Vegas. We're actually standing there, and we had to go up a hill, walk up a hill a little bit. And it's like, this is exactly where the camera had to be to get this shot. And again, this is south of Las Vegas. Is it Highway 10?
It's south and west towards the closest California border. Yeah. And exciting. And you know, as a sidebar, Dan, we said, hey, I'm going to take you to California right now.
Yeah.
We're in Nevada and Las Vegas. And so we crossed the line and got to stand and straddle the two states with our feet and do all that fun stuff. But you see the genius in it. And just like the Fleming locations, you're always trying to deduct why this location, why this place. And there's that hill on the southbound side of the highway where the car's going by at 85 miles an hour. And that's where the camera would have made a great placement. There's no helicopter. So when they shoot down to the sign, Welcome to Nevada, and they shoot down to Bond's hearse, they are on a hill. And it was very convenient. And it worked out perfectly. And then me being me and you being you, I go, stand 10 feet over here. Now 5 feet over here. Now 2 feet over here. Because you want the telephone poles and the mountains to line up. Because if you're going to go all the way to a dangerous highway, the traffic, you have to stand exactly where the camera was.
I'm with you on that, man. I'm with absolutely. You on that. I love that. We want to be on the spot.
On the spot.
So if you go to Vegas and try to find this place, first, good luck, because I mean, literally, we're flying down the highway, and Matt's like, okay, we're going to turn over here on the side of the road. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, I didn't know where it was, but then I just recognized it. No, I'm kidding. But what we want to do is, you know, when fans are enjoying the cast, if they would subscribe and talk back and send comments and say they want us to take them there, the three of us will take them there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not as fun alone or even with one good buddy as it is with a group. And I would love to have a group there. And believe it or not, this very week, I was talking with four or five guys about getting together in Vegas just to do the sights again. And it didn't work out for this year, but I'd love to do it next year.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we've been to the desert in a kind of an esoteric, kind of hard to find place. Then we go to another place, and we went to the airport. Easy to tell where LAX is. Another easy to find place is the funeral home, kind of. It's not really one location of the funeral home, right? So the hearse pulls into the Slumber Inc. funeral home for us there, and that's where the mausoleum is. That's where Bond is going to exchange the diamonds for the money. But the cool thing for me here is this is an area that has really, really changed since this movie was filmed. But the funeral home looks the same or pretty darn close. And so that was kind of cool. So, you know, we're driving on the highway and we turn in and there's the peak for the funeral home. And so it's really, really cool because it's not as isolated as it was in the movie. And this is the Palm Boulder Highway Mortuary and Cemetery, if I've got the name right. Do I have the name of that right, Matt?
That's right. Palm Mortuary is a chain. And so back in the day when the internet was starting to break out, a number of sites, including fan sites, had the location wrong. And back when they were filming in 71, as you said, the funeral home is a mausoleum. It's on a desert. It's on a nothing. And now it's overlooking Henderson in the back, where there's 500,000 people in homes. And when Tom Ankwicks, the screenwriter, was a guest at our event for 4 hours, we never asked him about the Garden of Remembrance. He was blowing us away with all these cool stories about his four Bond films and Superman 2 and blah, blah, blah. But when you go to the exteriors, which you said, Palm Mortuary, and you go to the back of the mausoleum, there's a plaque, and it is literally the Garden of Remembrance.
Right.
Just like Bond is told, your brother is out by the Garden of Remembrance. And it's just such a great scene, right? And then we always want to add to the location. So we not only go to the mausoleum, which is the exteriors, but we stand on the side of the robe, hitch our pants leg up like Sean Connery in the publicity shot, waiting for the motorcycle. So Palm Mortuary is exteriors, and then a different one is something else.
Well, and so there is the, and I don't know the if mausoleum's the right word, with the thing where the wall where they have the crypts where they put the remains in, and there's one there in this by the Garden of Remembrance that you're talking about. And I'm thinking, this looks different than the movie. And why is that, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Well, full disclosure, like Janine and I have been doing fan tours since 1998. So in 99, I took a group to the exterior location and I go, yeah, it was someone around here. And there's 30 of us going, this doesn't look like the movie. They must have refaced it. They must have. And I'd already been in there with co-host Alan Stevenson, and we met with a mortuary director. And then he gave us a tour and talked to us about burial types. It was very surreal. It was very shady tree. The interiors were done at the Paul Mortuary downtown near the Las Vegas Fremont Street area, as you know, because we were there.
Right.
And the interiors now look like the film because they did one mortuary for the exteriors and one for the interiors.
Yeah, so it's the same chain, but just two different locations. And we did
it's like McDonald's. McDonald's of death.
McDonald's of death. Wow, I'm sure they'd appreciate that.
I don't think they'll be a sponsor now.
Come on, people are dying to make this sponsorship. Please.
Yeah, and so we actually did an episode, Diamonds Are Forever, filming location revealed with Matt Sherman.
Yeah.
Where we talked about how what people had historically thought was the actual crypt that Bond puts the urn in and pulls the money out, how that actually was the wrong location because of some expansion they had done at the mortuary. And so if you want to watch that episode or listen to that episode, you'll get an idea of what we're talking about there.
Yeah, check out that film on our YouTube channel, Cracking the Code of Spy Movies. It's a great one. It's been a popular one.
Yep. And this is a fairly popular fan site because it's easy to find. The only thing I would tell you is remember, this is a working mortuary.
Yeah.
And you can get there when somebody's having a service and grieving the loss of someone. And so just be cool. Right?
Yeah. Be cool. And if you lie down because you're trying to pose like Connery unconscious, you may never leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't overdo it.
Yeah. All right. So we have the two scenes at the scenes at the different mortuaries, even though it looks like it's the same place. And Bond tells Slumber and Shady Tree, I hear the Tropicana is quite comfortable. So we're now going to move to the Tropicana Hotel. And that's where he's sitting in that round tub. He's got the Vegas Now or whatever it was magazine with Sammy Davis Jr. on the cover. And so it's a very short scene, but this scene is bums me out because it's supposed to be the Trop, right? And that hotel's going away for a baseball stadium.
Yes. Oh,
a lot of Vegas history and some pretty good history from Bond is coming down with that.
Yeah.
So we went over there, Matt, and we went up to a specific room. Do you remember that room and why we went up there?
Room 831 is found in the script. So we like to go to 831. And then whoever's staying in 831 loves it when we knock on the door and ask to take pictures of the inside of the room, no matter what's going on in the room. And again, Greg Van Cott is so eagle-eyed. And he was just there this week in anticipation of the demolished Tropicana building. And he noticed that there's a stairwell very conveniently there, so that if they used it or were planning to use it, Connery could quietly come up and down the stairs and not be disturbed from his trailer. And the Trop is that great scene that you're talking about, where the main floor is mostly not computer games and live dealers, and there's great shows and a beautiful Tiffany glass ceiling. And so our group will sit at the lounge for 3 hours, smoke cigars, have a drink, and talk Bond and spies.
And I love it. It's got a low ceiling for a casino, so it's got a different feel. So you can tell when you're seeing it in the movie.
Yeah. So, and all that orange juice. I mean, endless orange juice from the Tropicana, typically.
Oh, man.
Jokes today.
I'm in the Diamonds Are Forever mood. I love Diamonds Are Forever.
There you
it's
go.
Always in my top films, but it's just a funny film.
It is a funny film.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So then Bond, when he's looking at that magazine, he sees an ad that Shady Tree is performing at the White House, right?
Ooh,
and so he's
Shady
gonna,
Tree.
And so he's going to go to the White House. He's going to go to the White House to see this act. Now, this hotel has a pretty interesting history. So why don't you talk through the history of the hotel a little bit and the filming of it and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a reveal episode, okay? When Bond is walking in the so-called White House, fans know it's the now Westgate Resorts.
Right.
And we brought Lana Wood there in 99 to do the event with us. And she wasn't a big Vegas fan. She hadn't been there since filming in 71. So we bring her up to this hotel, this big white hotel where Elvis had headlined for years. And she walks up and she goes, "This is a nice hotel, fellas, but I didn't do my scenes at the Hilton. I did my scenes at the International." And 30 Bond fans go, "Lana, this is the International. It's now the Hilton, now the Westgate, the beautiful Willard White exteriors."
Yep.
Most fans know about the fake top of the building, right? Because they literally drew on each frame. They didn't have CGI and they made the White House appear taller.
Yep.
But when Bond is strolling in the White House and he sees some beautiful women dancing, it's the Dunes.
That's the Dunes
La Rev show, which was choreographed by my friend Pat Gill, who was Shady Tree's Blonde Acorn.
And we met her.
We met her on the tour and we had a whole to do with her. I just talked to her this week. She's a lovely lady. She was one of the most famous people in Las Vegas before she was cast for that brief scene. And she was great. And so you have the Dunes, you have the Westgate. He's now in the Riviera. And then when he's playing craps with Plenty O'Toole, they're at the Riviera. And then she gets thrown out the window of the Westgate. She flies through the air past another hotel and lands in a third hotel swimming pool. For that, you're going to have to tour with me because it took me like 20 years to figure this stuff out. But Lana Wood was told, "It took me 20 years to figure out some of these things, that they're walking by the dunes and they're playing in the Riviera." And she goes out the window of the Westgate and flies past another hotel, lands in a third pool, as you know from the tour. But Lana Wood was told at the time, "Listen, you're not that happy about jumping off a high dive board into a pool. And you're not that happy about doing it in your brown panties." That was a whole discussion. And then some.
Yeah. Mm.
"So don't worry, Lana. We'll film you at 2 a.m. No one will be there." She steps on this board at 2 a.m. There's 200 press taking photos and hundreds of gawking fans. And so a stunt woman goes out one window of the actual Westgate. If you look at the windows very closely on the screen, it's the Westgate. And then she lands in another pool elsewhere in Vegas. And then we're hoping to find her body sometime. Because when she drowns, that's actually Kirk Douglas's former home in Palm Springs, Nevada.
Palm Springs. Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's right. Where they go out, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you already mentioned that Pat Gill was one of the Acorns, and you had us meet her, which was awesome. It was great to have dinner with her. Now, we also had a guy on the tour who booked a particular room at the Westgate for us to go ahead and take a look at. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Scott and Ken are fans who are, Scott Rozankovich is perennially at these events, and he's just into the max, and he loves it. He's a great fan, a great, sweet guy. And he made sure not just to stay at the Westgate on a high floor, like Elvis would stay in residence. I mean, he was right there in the middle of that arc building. But he made sure our whole group could go up there and enjoy the view, which I had never done. I mean, you'd think I would have done it, but we went up and I'm shooting photos out the window of the scene, and I'm looking at the other locations from Diamonds of Forever. It was fabulous. It was great.
Yeah,
and so we appreciate when the fans chip in. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool because it felt like you were there. You know, just seeing it from that room and taking a look and seeing here's the side of the building and stuff that, you know.
And we were there because one thing I'd hoped to do that I did at that time, which we did, I turned a little bit and now I have the background behind Blofeld when he's ensconced on the top floor as Willard White / Howard Hughes. In other words, even when I'm watching him in a set and you think, oh, this is a Ken Adams set. It's a gorgeous set, right? The top floor of the White House. There's mountains behind him. And I go, those look like Vegas mountains. And I went into the sky in Google Maps and I thought about it for, 4 or 5 hours. And it's the view from the Westgate.
Nice.
But we didn't have to pay hundreds of dollars a night because Scott and Ken were hosting us there. And then we go to the lobby and we see the fabulous Terry O'Neill photos of Bond at the gas station, of Sean Connery there with Jill St. John. You know, it's a whole scene. It's a whole scene and everyone wants to go to the White House.
Yeah, I love the pictures they have in that hotel just to kind of get you to, this was old Vegas, even though we're a new version. It's very cool. All right, so they leave, after Plenty O'Toole, as her, I didn't know there was a pool down there, which is probably my favorite, one of my favorite Bond lines.
Exceptionally fine shot.
Yes, exactly. So then the movie shifts to another hotel, which is still there, Circus Circus. And now this is one that they're supposed to be doing another big renovation of the interior. So I'll be interested to see how they do that. But the water race is there still. That balloon game. It's not there anymore.
No, I'm nodding my head going, I can't believe it's still there. I had a friend go there recently and take a picture. It's still the same.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's still there, but I know they're going to do another renovation. So who knows? But that whole scene that you have with Tiffany and the kid, was it Brian Dugan? Was that his name? Gary Dugan.
Oh, blow it up your pants.
Yeah, that kid. That scene, you can go, and we actually were able to play the water balloon game at Circus Circus. And like you said, you can still do that today. Yeah, so if you want to kind of immerse yourself and kind of play act at something that was really done in the movie, it's there. You've got the ability to go ahead and do that, which is
the same clown heads. Yeah. The same clown heads. I spent an inordinate amount of time on eBay looking for that giant green dog.
Yeah.
Because that would have been great on the shelf, right? And after the first 400 or 500 green dogs on eBay, the second time of that, I gave up. But the clown heads and the guns, everything's the same. And so you have these groups over the years that go, and everyone's staying like this with a water pistol. And it's so much fun. And it's the reach and the arc of Bond. If you remember the call in the show, ladies and gentlemen, the Flying Palacios.
Yep.
The Barker on the floor, who was a real position, a real person for decades, because they would do this show all the time and still did into recent years, was Jay Sarno, who had founded Circus Circus and said, if you're filming in my casino, I'll be in the film. He's the Barker. Mm-hmm. But that same Barker's job was held by other famous people through the years. But the Flying Palacios would go all over the world for two decades after. And everywhere people go, we know the Flying Palacios. They'd be in Poland doing a show. They go, how do you know us? They go, diamonds are forever. Diamonds are forever. I'm serious. It's the reach of this franchise.
Yep, absolutely.
So we had a great time at the water balloons. And I think, Tom, you shot your gun on my clothes, right? I was wearing silk.
I think I might have. Yeah, I think I might have. Yeah, that sounds like something I would do. It'd be something I would do. But they also still had the trapezes there up there when we were there. I didn't see anybody on it.
Oh, yes. And the very track, if you remember, you can look in the ceiling now until the renovation and see the track in the ceiling where the famous showgirls and dancers would go past, and they go past Bond and Leiter in the film.
Yeah,
because that track is still there. And it's tremendous. And Circus Circus was an unusual place and the only non-Howard Hughes property that they used for the film.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool and it's still there. It's just it's amazing. So it's still there.
The cool part that it's still there.
But it is.
Yeah.
All right, so then you alluded to this. Plenty O'Toole gets thrown into the pool, and magically she's in the pool, and it's really in California. And so
all over the place.
Long trial.
So you have that house there, and you said that it was Kirk Douglas's house, right? And then
Kirk Douglas's house.
And then you've got the Elrod house, which is what was supposed to, that thing with all the turns in it. That was where we met Thumper and Bambi, and that house is under big reconstruction again, and you just can't get into it right now. You're not going to get into that house. So going there is probably not a good side trip. I think a better side trip is what we did up in Utah, because first it's closer everything's open because it's outside.
nice chat with Trina Parks, who played Thumper. She was fun.
Yep, great, she was
great,
fun.
Great to talk to. Great lady.
Yeah, that was a great chat. That was a great chat. Yeah, the Elrod House is a gated community. Yeah. And sometimes it would rent out for film and television, but the rental was like $8,000 a night. And I said, instead, let's go to Utah, see 13 Octopussy locations instead of two. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a better idea.
Good. Okay. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I did. Well, plus for me, I live in Chicago and everything's flat. When you're in downtown Vegas, everything's flat. It's when you get out of downtown Vegas and the strip that things stop getting flat. So that was really cool.
It was awesome. I'm here in hilly downtown Florida. I'm at an elevation of 100 feet of sea level.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you go a mile, it's still 100 feet above sea level. Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. So then the next scene that we see in Vegas is at McCarran Airport. And boy, does that look different now. My God, is that airport exploded. I mean, it's like...
I don't think you should say exploded at the airports. Come on.
Well, okay, that might have been a poor choice.
Bursting at the seams.
It has gotten a lot larger.
There you go.
All right. Right. Now, I think I did not understand one of the shots in the movie. When I was looking at this again last night, and when they back the Mach 1 out of the parking spaces, they're going to follow Metz.
You
see a sign for the Frontier Hotel. Well, the Frontier Hotel, unless, you know, this was old McCarran, so maybe the terminal was further north than it is now, but the Frontier Hotel wouldn't be where they were backing out.
Right. You are correct. You are absolutely correct. I triangulated the mountains so that when we were on the airport or at the fence bordering the airport, we can get the same background, because the terminal and the baggage lockers are all different, and the famous oxygen breathing for a dollar that Ian Fleming liked. And what happened was I've worked closely with another friend who may even be a bigger devotee of the movie than me, and the Frontier had an outside. They had a real vibrant sign to advertise across town.
Okay.
And so he's documented every hotel that appears even briefly in the film and collects casino chips from all the hotels. It's like 25 hotels of old Vegas. So there's a Frontier bit, and then there's another place where you can kind of see an Elvis sign for the Hilton and all this fun stuff.
So the Frontier sign we see with the billboard for Wayne Newton is really just like a billboard for the hotel down the road?
And tricks us into going, where's the camera? Because Matt said, hey, we're looking northwest here to get the mountains.
So that was
southwest.
And again, as you're doing this stuff and you're looking for these different scenes, and you look at the scene, it's like, where the heck is this? This doesn't feel right. And it's because it's...
And you know, that's true. And I don't know if we talked about this on site, but the other thing was that the director, who I love all his Bond films, but Guy Hamilton, John Glenn did this too. They have an affinity for diagonal shots. And what I mean by that is, if you were in a north, south, east, west straight configuration, and you have a car parked with Bond in it, he would never just shoot through the car. He would turn the camera diagonally. And so like some of these scenes where I want to know where the eight different camera angles were so you can storyboard it and do everything and take all the photos, it takes like 3 hours to work out. I know that sounds silly, but I'm sitting here like, that hotel was the Stardust. I was there before they demolished it, but what's that hotel? And then they spend an hour on the internet trying to figure out what that hotel was from that little green logo. And you work at all these shots, and they would turn the cameras diagonally and make turns look interesting and car chase look interesting while reutilizing the same street over and over again.
Yeah.
So sometimes you and I, or the three of us rather, we catch you on, and we know that there's a scene filmed this way, like Dr. No, they're playing bridge. And if you literally spin the camera around, you get another Dr. No scene that you would have never known was there because they turned the camera.
We're going to talk about that with Octopussy.
Yeah. Cool. It's the same with the Mach 1 chase down the main strip, right? They kept using the same kind of footage over and over again and the same.
I put my story butt up here for you, but it would break the internet because I counted up. I was lettering things A through, and it was almost Z. There's 22 different turns they do in this two block area. They spin out. And you're like, if Bond's trying to get away, why does he U-turn and go down the same street again? Ha ha ha.
That's a great story word.
By the way, the Mach 1, the car used in this stuff we're talking about here, is owned by the Ian Fleming Foundation, and they're restoring it right now. And Tom and I got to see that car in person, and it's fantastic. The Ian Fleming Foundation does a terrific job with finding movie-used props and materials from the Bond movies, restoring them and loaning them out. When Tom and I were there, we were invited once for their work weekend, and they were working on a 22-foot section of the Goldfinger plane. Oh my god,
very cool. After they leave the airport and we have this issue with the Frontier sign, they stop off at a Shell gas station because Dr. Metz needs to get some gas,
right?
They're following him, and this is another thing that has changed, but it's still a gas station. It's just an Arco now and not the Shell, and it's conveniently right across from the White House or the Westgate now. And so you can go there, and if you're sitting there on Elvis Presley Drive, that gas station's right there, and you can see the same shot and same view that they had in the movie from the Arco station now. Right? Did they change the building at all?
Yeah, the building, the what we call the grocery convenience store, is the same. The difference is the alley that they do the quick switch in. And the question is, why does Dr. Metz have to stop there for gas? The man's full of gas. He's full of hot air. But they do this thing there, and it's just so surreal, right? To be there, Tom, with 12 or 15 people, and they're all like, hey, Curly, what about my stamps? And then the gas station attendant is just looking at you like, what planet are you from?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And then the other thing, too, is now this is a cute story, but, you know, Gary and Steve Oxenrider, these dear fellows, they run into the convenience store, which they would always do. And they start telling the convenience store manager, hey, did you know Diamonds Are Forever was filmed with Sean Connery, starring director Guy Hamilton, 1971. Blah, 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 blah. And we're like, we got to go. We have a timed appointment. We have to go somewhere. And they love to tell people, hey, your Kentucky Fried Chicken was used in Goldfinger. Like, they never know. They never know that the thousands of people who stop at Arco to get gas can get stamps.
There you go.
Yeah, used to do stamps. All right. So then Metz drives up into the desert to Tektronix. And this is just an amazing area. And again, it's another where it's like, how did you find that ridge in the desert where this chase is going? So you drive up there and the building, there's a building, isn't that the Papco Gibson building? Is that where that is? Yeah, so you go up there and so you can see the structure that's in the movie. But then when he does the buggy chase, you're just out in desert. You know, he leaves the moon, if you will, the set for the moon, goes through, crashes through with the moon buggy, and he's just driving around in the desert being chased. And you took us to some spots in that desert that the ridges, and even at the low level, not the stuff way in the back, but the stuff really close to us. It's like, that's where this had to be. And again, that had to take you forever to find.
It takes forever just to call the screenshots. So okay. We're talking about like 7 stops on the way to Papco Gibson.
Right.
And the first time we took a group or considered it, we had identified a gypsum plant. And I told people, hey, we're going to wear hard hats and we're going to get gypsum samples. And then a week before the event, I was looking again. And again, this is very early on the advent of the internet. I go, this is the wrong place. And I had to tell the gypsum plant, you're the wrong gypsum plant, because that was incorrect on the web. It's Papco Gibson, which is close to the public. But there's like 7 stops. And I have to tell you, the 7th stop, which is where the car stops and basically Joel St. John is waiting for Sean Connery.
Right.
I have something like 42 screenshots and they all in my computer say southwest, northwest, north, northeast. So you can stand in a circle because at home I have 1 shot for every screenshot, right? And then Nate Sears, who's wonderful and helps us with all these locations, he tracked down a lot of the buggy where he thought it was. And then when we went there, as you know, we were pulling out pieces of paper and looking at it and screen matching it. So yeah, there's at least like 80 screenshots you can get in this beautiful desert, and you can take a rock sample home. And then I hope you finally remember that we're the only group that ever went inside Papco Gibson.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that was a story, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we did some crazy stuff.
We have fans standing holding a long sheet, Dan, of metal, of scrap metal. Because they were dismantling the famous dome that's in the background of the buggy chase.
Yep.
And this was a big thing for me. This is like my, 6th tour group, whatever. And we were able to make the schedules work and they were very gracious to us. But we went to, a large carport.
Yep.
And it's where Dr. Metz takes his pass and puts it in the van and the van descends.
Yeah.
And then we stood somewhere else and I'm like, Misha, stand over here. Stuart, stand over here. Tom, get a picture. Yep. Because they're like, why am I here? I'm like, you're about to be run over by a buggy. This is where the gate crashed. So, and this is the building and this is this. And you come home and you look at it after these 3 years and you go, oh my gosh, I have 150, scenes from this film. It was amazing. It was, it was wonderful. And it won't happen without a group because they don't want to hear from an individual. But when you say, hey, I have guys who are great podcasters and webmasters and bloggers and writers and university professors.
Very right. Cool. Now, another thing that happens there, happens later in the movie, but they filmed it there, is when Bond comes out of that pipe and he's resplendent looking at his tuxedo. Ah. And it's just, I was just out walking my rat. I seem to have lost my way. That's in that same area.
I have my hand on my forehead. Yeah. Because that was a rough one, man. That was rough. Yeah.
Well, it's just a spot of dirt. And try to figure out just that little spot of dirt where that thing came out of.
Sure. I was looking for Wynton Kidd for the umpteenth time, unwilling to ask Bruce Glover, who's always like, Nat, how are you doing? What's going on? And I want to tell you about when I discovered Warren Beatty, and he's great. But I'm looking literally on Google Maps of highways, and now I'm further afield than the usual suspects and where groups have been and tour groups have been. And I'm screaming, Janine, come over here. And she comes over to the laptop where I'm talking to you now. And I go, you see that little green lump in the background over there? I was looking for Wynton Kidd. That's the green lump from the pipe scene when they bury him in the pipe. And long story short is, I have friends and I'm like, you stand there. Nope. 2 feet more this way, 3 feet more this way. What am I doing? I'm where Sean Connery is shown hitting the golf ball when he's working on the pipe scene.
Yeah.
You're sitting over here where Sean Connery is getting his nails done. You see this little ridge over here? There's an upslope that goes 2 feet high. That's in the background when he's buried in the pipe. So it's one scene for the burial of the pipe. And it's one scene for him coming out of the pipe.
Yeah.
And then another scene. So it's, but I mean, what I'm excited about is I was finding these places and I had been taking tour groups there to see Diamonds of the River for 20 years.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm never going to find this. And I wasn't looking for it. But, you know,
once
you look at a picture 87 times, you see the little green lump of rock. And you guys know what I'm talking about, because this is the lifestyle we've chosen.
Exactly. All right. So let's talk nightlife. We've talked a little bit about this scene. But one of my favorite parts of the tour was when we went to Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas, and where they do that whole car chase that we were talking about. And what I really like about it is it's a fairly confined area, but there are so many different shots that are from the movie, that, and it's so easy to just walk around this thing. I mean, it's Fremont Street between Main and 3rd Street. So it's not a very long stretch of road you have to go to. You have to go behind Binion's Horseshoe to find the parking lot, but it's, you know, it's on Ogden Street right behind it. And
right.
I mean, in here, there are shots from the Fremont Hotel, Binion's Horseshoe, which used to be my favorite place to play craps in the world, the Four Queens, the Golden Nugget, the Pioneer, the Mint. I mean, and then all these little places along the way. And again, it's only like 4 blocks long. You know, from Main to 3rd with the cross street in the middle. I forget the name of that one.
Right. There's
Casino Center Boulevard.
Like a grid.
Yeah.
Right. Casino Center Boulevard, 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Right.
So everything's in this really tight area. Which, just the squealing tires when it's spinning the car had to be pretty loud, I would think, when they actually filmed it.
Oh, yeah. And your fans watching are savvy, and they realize when they're watching it, there's crowds standing watching the cars go by. Because, again, they're filming at 2 a.m. But, oh, it's a Bond film. Let's go watch.
Well, it's 2 a.m. in Vegas.
Weird things.
That's 2 a.m. in Vegas. Yeah.
That's like 9 a.m.
And Guy Hamilton, the director, told the mayor, yeah, we'll be here. It'll take a day. And they're taking over downtown for 5 days. And so for me, it's very, I hate to use the word obsessive compulsive. I would just say certifiable, like I should be in a straitjacket. But it's like, stand over here. Why? That's where the car pulls up and the sheriff says, hey, brother, and stand over here. Why? Because you're getting run over. This is where the Ford Mustang goes on the sidewalk. Right here, even though the building has changed in 60 years, because I sit there and I try to get it down to the foot.
Yep.
And we were the first group that said, look, the parking lot is not a figment of imagination in Universal City. And what started me on that was, I see the big neon sign in the scene. I go, it has to be Vegas. So we went to the parking lot where they did. But it was something like 22 or 23 different camera angles, turns. And what makes it very difficult is when the sheriffs are in the car and Bond and Jill St. John are in the car, they're on a green screen, but the camera is reversed. So they're driving, they're supposed to be fleeing east, but they're driving west. And it's going by like this. So you have to slow down every frame of the DVD. And so I have a storyboard of it, and it looks like a bowl of spaghetti of what they're doing. And they made it very exciting. And at the time, for those who can remember, the audiences were enthralled. That was the high piece of the film. Tom Mankiewicz said, what did I do? I broke Cubby's rule about making the film bigger and bigger and bigger into the end. Because the highlight of the film for stunts was the car chase.
Right.
And people had never seen this. And so Dan, Tom, and I are there, and we're walking around. And I'm like, this alley, the two wheels, they go in. But this alley, the two wheels, they come out. And this way they do this, and this way they do this. And the only thing that was California was to flip the car and solve the continuity of the car changing on two wheels.
Yeah.
But it's exciting, and it's glamorous. And me being me, I'm going to take you along the way and go, that's Casino. And that's Goodfellas, and that's this. And you want to get them some of its parts, and you want to eat there and play there and take the zip line there and have fun. Yeah. And that's a highlight for everybody. That's old Vegas.
Yeah, it's old Vegas. Now, to me, they kind of ruined it when they made the Fremont Street experience with all the lights and stuff.
Right.
But the cool thing about it for the Bond fan is, at street level, you're looking at these hotels, and it's pretty darn similar to what was the way it looked back then. So that's really, really cool. And I used to stay on the strip when I go out to Vegas, and I'd go and spend at least one night down in Fremont and go into Binion's and have a good time. It's a good part of Vegas.
And they had the best $2.99 egg and bacon buffets. I wasn't happy about the covering with the Fremont Street experience, but Janine and I went there for the first time, and they were playing Vic Flick's Bond theme. Mm-hmm. And I called up Vic, who was feeling sad about something. I said, Vic, you were just on the world's largest soundstage, because it's technically the biggest speaker set in the planet Earth. And there you were, just like you're in the London Olympiad with a billion people listening to your guitar theme, you know? Oh, man, that's a billion people, you know.
There you go.
You got to make the most of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so then the movie goes back out to California, and we already talked about the Elrod House with Thumper and Bambi in it. And then the last shot we really see in Vegas in the movie is when Tiffany gets in the car and Blofeld's there in drag petting the white cat. And then they leave Vegas and go off. And that's pretty much it. It was that scene at the Westgate. Because then they go off and film stuff inside stuff that you're not seeing. Am I right on that? Or did I miss
it? Yeah. And of course, as you know from coming on tour with me, I'm also going to take you to Ian Fleming's Tiara Hotel from the novel.
Yep.
And Thrilling Cities. And, you know, my Vegas thing has 50 pins in it, right?
Yep.
But yeah, they leave from the White House, which is a real drag. Ha 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 ha. When Blofeld comes out.
Yeah.
And I love Charles Gray in that film. And they shoot inside there. And one of the hooks is you can tell which casino they're in by looking at, you ready for this? Which you probably already figured this out, but the carpet. So if you look at the carpet in the scenes or in still shots, and again, so frustrating because the camera wants to look at actors,
right?
But I want to look at casino plaques and carpets and ashtrays,
yep.
Right? So like when Bond puts out his cigarette and you go, oh, that's a set. That's so funny because on his lap, when Jill St. John puts out the cigarette, it's clearly a green 1971 Tropicana ashtray. You can get them on eBay. So, you know, is it the Tropicana? Isn't it? It's part of the mythos, part of the fun, right?
Yep.
But Diamonds is a great film because you can go to most of it. And there's still people on the web saying, well, long story short is I have friends who think they were doing the mine scenes where they're mining in South Africa, also in Vegas in the tunnels. But there are something like 8 or 10 miles of tunnels in the area that you can go to near Hoover Dam, near Boulder Dam. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a while.
Yeah. Well, you'll get there. We'll find it. All right. So we didn't go to California. We went the other way and went up to Utah.
Right.
And I had no idea that they had done any Octopussy filming there. And because I hadn't really gotten into Octopussy at that point. And this is just some of the most beautiful country. And it's also where we find, in the movie, the gas station that Roger Moore pulls up into. He's in that Acrostar BD5J with the wings up, and he says, "Fill her up." Now that location technically exists. Roger Moore wasn't there, but I'm going to tell you it's in Santa Clara, Utah. I'm not going to tell you where. This one took some great sleuthing to figure out. Right? I think Nate helped you with this one, right? Nate Sears?
Nate Sears found the location and I got us an aerial photo. And then I still am going to go in and move things around by 50, 60 yards and find some things. And where did the plane come? And there was a near accident at the scene where crew people were almost killed, which we talked about. And And John Glenn was going to cut that from the film.
Really?
And he walked into a preview audience just to see, and they died at it. They were laughing so hard. And I remember watching the trailer in the films and everyone's laughing. And I actually have a location memory about these Utah scenes. I remember being a kid, this is long before I'm doing some tour, and thinking, India, Argentina, I'll never go there. Man, I sure like to, man, I wish I could go to that cliff where him and Octopus are hanging off the... And so where they filmed the BD Jet landing was a mix and taking off a mix of England. And they used three different military airfields in Octopussy, right? And Utah. And if you had told me years ago, Matt, you're going to go to Southwest remote Utah 4 times to look at Bond locations, but I love it. And like you said, it's some of the most beautiful scenery in the world for sure. Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous
mountains.
And you see where the jet was flying. You just, again, you look at the mountains. You can kind of see the paths it was flying. But this gas station, you took us up on a hill. And it's one of the things, if you're looking at scenes like this, get high, right? Because if you can get high, you get not like that. You can, I don't know if Utah lets you, Vegas can, but I don't know about Utah, but get elevated and look down on something. And you had us do that with this location, which was really eye-opening for me. Being able to see this from the top because it's an apartment complex now.
That's great. And we marked it because from high up, we could see the length of the run because the jet didn't go 20 feet. It went, it's landing. We marked the whole half a mile because, you know, like I'll go to Rome and I'll say, Janine, we're walking the 2 miles they use for this 50 second shot at 80 miles an hour. And we marked the whole thing. And it's great. And something you could do there that's very hard to do, another place we went to, right, is I go take a look You're seeing the opening of Octopussy and the closing in one photo. We can all stand like this.
Yep.
And you're seeing Argentina and India in one shot because it's stunning mountains, stunning hiking and wild desert. And then it's kind of a fundamentalist Mormon community. So like when you go to the Walmart there, the women are very modestly dressed and they'll have archaic looking dresses on. They look like they're from the 1700s, like Quakers. Mm-hmm. But very friendly, very, very cool place, very cool trip. And I have to tell you, I thought, is that going to be a good group trip? And what happened was people on the web with two or three Octopussy locations, I'm like, these are not correct. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Or, oh, they had a helicopter. That's how they did this. I'm like, no, they didn't have a helicopter. You don't hear one in the film.
Right.
The camera isn't jiggling. It must be some hill. And then it was several trips like with Janine where we spent a whole day and we spent like 3 hours looking for one camera scene for 2 seconds in the film. And then and after a while, I said to Janine, this is amazing. She goes, what? I go, I found all 13 locations from the 13 Eon film. So we're going to go see 13 Octopussy locations.
Nice. One of them is pretty easy to find. And that's the bridge that they fly the jet under. Right. So there's all these different scenes of the jet there.
Yeah,
and it's the Hurricane Laverkan Bridge. And you took us there. And you could kind of hike around this thing. And you could kind of, you guys were kind of like hanging on to it a little bit. And, you know, going down right alongside of it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't have that kind of coordination. But if you want to and you have that kind of skill, go for it.
There's nothing better than being with a Bond friend under the Hurricane Laverkan Bridge. And, you know, as a kid watching the film, it looks like a 1,000-foot high gorge, and it's not.
Wow.
But I don't know if I should say this on the cast, but we want to do a reveal, right? So the first time I'm there is because we're taking the kids to Zion National Park, which is stunning for miles of hiking. And I'm looking at MapQuest or whatever, and I see we're going through Hurricane Utah. And I'm like, Hurricane Utah? Why is that something going on? Why is Hurricane Utah? Oh, it's in the IMDb credits for Octopussy. Oh, that's the bridge. Hey, kids, we're going to stop by the bridge. And let's just say that one of my two children, either my son or my daughter, said, Dad, I really need to go. And I said, well, we'll take a couple pictures and we'll go. He goes, no, I really need to go. So we went. And then because we were in Utah and Las Vegas doing hiking, I think we urinated at four different James Bond locations, which is something I am proud of. But several times I've gone with people under the bridge, meaning what Thomas is saying, we're hanging under like a trestle and we're hanging over the gorge underneath the bridge where the plane flew. And then we also got on high and saw the whole gorge from above. We also hiked in the gorge in like 112 degree weather. It was awesome. You got to do it. You got to go to Utah to catch these 5 minutes of Octopussy. It's amazing. We spent 3 days to understand all the camera and work for 5 minutes of the films.
Yeah, yeah, you talk about hanging from the trestle. Here in Chicago, at the Museum of Science and Industry, they've got a 007 science exhibit they just opened up.
Yeah.
And one of the exhibits that you can do is they've got a beam that you can hang on, and there's a little button you hit that does a countdown counter because Bond is hanging from with his fingertips on this thing. And I think I got half a second. Dan, you got about a second or two, right?
Janine does CrossFit. She whipped everybody in DC. Uh-huh. She's standing there hanging. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm walking away now. I'm going to go lead the rest of the tour. We have more Bond stuff to see. I'll leave you there. We'll catch you back in a couple hours, right? Like, how come Danny Craig does that? Like, James Bond can't do like one pull-up, right, in Skyfall because he's on barbiturates and cocaine and alcohol.
Yeah.
And then later on, he's like, I'll take the lift to the 95th floor. I'll just
No problem.
He's James Bond.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other thing by this bridge that I really think is cool is I would spend a lot of time there because if you go across the street from the bridge, there's a new housing development going in, and there's a beautiful overlook. And if you can stand there and look at the bridge and then turn left, you can totally imagine seeing that jet flying over to come in and go under the bridge. It is so beautiful, and it's such an expansive area, especially if you can get on a bluff to the other side of the bridge. It is just so cool to see all of that.
Right. I'm can I say, I know I'm commenting on everything you say, but can I say I'm gratified to hear that because I spent hours going, how can I get to that overlook?
Yeah.
Or hours going, I see four trails, but they seem to run out and I'm reading trail guides and how can I get us under the thing? And one of the reasons to go there was because the plane goes very fast in like a U shape. And then when you're at the gorge, you go, oh, because fans will come, take a picture of the bridge and leave. We go under the bridge, over the bridge. Yep. And when you turn around in a 360 on this bluff that you're talking about, it's like being in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And you can look back towards where we were the day before at other bond sites, and you can look back towards Purple Mountains and Black Peaks and Orange Mountains, and you turn in a 360 view, and then you're looking down a couple hundred feet onto the James Bond airplane gorge. It's unreal. It's so beautiful. It's just worth the trip. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and now a little north of there, I'm not going to say where, there's this road.
Canada.
Yeah, it's Canada. It's the road that James Bond pulls out of the horse, the carriage that had the horse tail on the back of it, and takes off in the jet. And then later, when he lands the jet before he goes to fill it up, it's the same road. And they use that trick you talked about where the camera's pointing one way when he takes off. They turn the camera around. It looks like you're in a totally different spot. And it's literally the same stretch of asphalt that they're going over.
Exactly. Spinning around. Exactly. Yeah. So I have a, what do you call it? Oh, yeah, job. But somehow I managed to cram in over the years 15 hours to diagram that scene. And if it's 2 seconds of film or a deleted scene, I want to know. And a lot of people go, that's England. It's not. It's Utah. Mm-hmm. And so when we were there, if you ever go back, I would love to go back. We went to 3 or 4 different sites and we proved, and you all agreed, we looked at it. This is where the camera was. Look, there's a convenient road here. This is where the Jeep comes. And then we walked to the hill where they took the Jeep and turned it over on 2 wheels because that was all natural landscape that they were used. And then we went another, 2 miles, parked somewhere very dangerous because the van we were in was warm from driving it around. And we were on dry grass, and the owner of the house comes out and he goes, I don't mind you being here as a Bond fan, but you're going to set the place on fire. That was an eye opener. Yeah. And then we, ducked down because here's where the plane goes over the guards, and the BD jet was going 10 feet over their heads.
Yeah.
So they did a lot more in Utah than people realize. And that's kind of like a fun thing. Like people go, oh, there's 2-3 locations there. No. There's at least 13 locations with many different camera angles. Very, very cool. And it's north, and it's on the border of the gigantic Zion Valley National Park.
Yep. And it's cool place. A really, really cool place. And you can get out, and we kind of did this, pretended we were the guards shooting at the plane and stuff.
Right. And instead really of me cool taking, that was a lift, and instead of me doing Ritalin or cocaine, what I do is I'll spend 4 hours going up and down a road on Google Maps. Thank God for Google Maps. Going, no, in the movie, the curve is a little bit like this. And meanwhile, they're pulling the camera and foreshortening. And I'll spend like hours and I'll say, Janine, I spent another 3 hours. But where people thought that was one thing, it's 4 camera locations. I've got it all now. Now I can take my friends and we can go because we're going to see the whole movie, be in the whole movie. And then, and so people are picking up rocks and things to bring home, and they have rocks in their heads too, like me. So,
well, I do have to say, Janine's got to be a saint putting up with all of this from you,
or a martyr, possibly a martyr. And Janine and I have done something like 34 multi-city day tours, not just Bond, but other things, but all around the world. And and she tells me what I did wrong. I'll think about it for like 25 hours and I'll go, I've got a great idea for the cosplay for James Bond. She goes, nope, do this. So she's very helpful that way. And we have a good time going to all these locations.
Right.
Hey, Janine, guess what? We're going to Rome for 4 days and we're only going to walk the Spectre car chase for 3 of those days. So you're probably going to get a cup of cappuccino in Rome and then we'll leave.
Yeah. You've got to eat better than that there. All right. So then the kind of almost ending scene of the movie is the chase on the Mesa when Bond's riding the horse and jumps on the plane.
Yeah.
And that is at Hurricane Mesa. It's in Zion National Park, right? Or is it right adjacent to it?
It's somewhat close, and it's on a restricted space that's used for private testing for military jets and ejector seats and all kinds of Bond stuff.
Yeah, we were climbing through fences and stuff. It was like, we probably shouldn't have been there. But it was good to see.
it was a small felony.
Yeah.
Just don't return to Utah until 2029. And people don't realize it was the first time in a film that someone, it's such a small moment, like a couple seconds, but it's the first time in a movie ever that a stuntman rode a horse and then jumped on a moving plane. He had to acclimate the horse to the noise of the engine, which was off-putting. And he's doing this work at several thousand feet above sea level. Mm-hmm. And we were on a giant mesa that can hold Air Force One. It's a landing strip miles long. Yeah. And so we went where Kamal touches down and crashes, and where his plane blows up, and where they're hanging off the cliff, and where the X marks the spot. And because we had so geolocated it, right? You were standing in the exact spot where the horsemen, where Bond jumps onto the plane.
Yep.
And the mountains and everything. And then we went somewhere else. And I'm like, you see this dizzying drop. It's 800 feet down to the surround. It's this gorgeous area you can see for 20 miles in the desert. I'm like, that's the view that Kamal has when he's crashing. There you are. Here we are. There's the cliff. You know, that alone was hours of crazy fun and hiking and this, you know, and then driving up that hill, right?
Yep.
I've never been applauded on a tour for driving, but I took us up a mountain with no shoulder and 400 foot drops.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And the road was not big enough for the vehicle we had. So I drove up honking the horn all the way. And when I got to the top, they applauded, I think out of being alive.
Relief.
So
relief. We made it. Phew.
Yeah, we made it. But and you couldn't do that with a 50 passenger bus, like on these bigger tours. This is more of a, hey, we're going to hike. We're going to be in the desert. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be different. Yeah. But when we got to the view, everyone's like, that was worth it.
Yep.
I mean, the stunning view that you would want to see anyway. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's where the missile went. And that's where the plane went. And that's where
that was it. I mean, so you get up there and in a fairly short area, you know, not too far apart is all of these really cool. I mean, you know, the rock that they're hanging from, you know, with the you know, it's like, okay, I'm not doing that. I'm never going to be a stunt person. I'm never going to be a stunt person.
Yeah. I love what Bernie Casey said about that at one of our events. He was a Felix Leiter, never seen ever again. Right. And he was a football pro, right? Hall of Fame football pro. So he said, you do your own stunts? He goes, no, they can earn a living too. I've had enough concussions. They should earn a living.
That's a good way to think about it.
But Craig and Dalton, they just tore themselves up doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Just tore themselves up. Yep. And I like the paycheck, not the stunts.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and another place we went to a ghost town that they had shot a scene from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Right.
And so that was, you know, wasn't the spy movie. It wasn't Octopussy or anything, but it in that area. Right. So it was really cool to see. And you could almost hear the song Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, because that was the song playing when they show that scene. So
yes, and you and others recognized it on site, which was super cool. And just it can't be Bond locations constantly or spy locations. It has to be what's something fun that you'd like. And it's just a really cool ghost town near Zion Park. And it's just beautiful scene and a rugged bridge and a climb. And it was like my third time there again, because they take different groups and it was just great. And family and Janine. Yep. It was great.
Yeah,
it was really, really cool.
Yeah, you're in the area. You might as well go see it, right? All right, so Matt, that pretty much wraps up the highlights of that part of the trip. But I want to talk about, what are you doing next? You've got another trip coming up, right? What's next?
We have two things in line, and we'd love for all the listeners and viewers to join us. And we say all, we'll take 1,000. If 1,000, we'll go. We'll make it happen. Janine and I have done Bond and Spy events with thousands of attendees. We've done events like All Time High, where it's just a dozen friends bonding.
And so you do a great job with it.
I appreciate that very much. It means a lot, especially coming from y'all, because you do these tours and you do these things. And every time I look, you're like, oh my God, where else in the world have they not been? Like, you're somewhere else. So we're going to Mexico City.
Okay.
And cool. Mexico City was something where, in other cases, the first time I'm in Nassau, the Bahamas, I shouldn't tell anybody, the first time I was even in Chicago, actually, I was doing a Bond event.
Mm-hmm.
But Mexico, we wanted to go. We went with our dear friends, Alan and Dorothy Hilburn, who go on a lot of these trips with us. And just the four of us went to Mexico City to go to all locations. So in October of this year, 2024, we'll take you to 50 locations. To be honest, it's more like 90. But when I say 90, nobody believes me. From License to Kill, Spectre, deleted scenes. Like, you'll go inside a gorgeous building it's a palace. I'll be like, that's where Daniel Craig changed into a Spectre costume. Because we would never just take you to where you stood on the street.
Right.
And you'll dine at restaurants where they went and do all this stuff. And we play theme games and trivia. Mexico City is going to be amazing. It's solid touring for days on end, where this entire day is just Spectre, just License to Kill, observatories, and Professor Joe's. And also, Janine and I are working on a couple of things, which is, I was the guest keynote speaker at the James Bond Studies Conference in London last year. And one of the reasons they tapped me to go was I led a walking tour of London, and we saw actually places from every one of the 14 Fleming books. And believe it or not, we worked hard on this, a couple of us, 27 Bond films on one walking tour.
Wow.
And it was great for me to catch films. And so I also led a Casino Royale movie screening and a plenary discussion for the group. So there's going to be a London event in summer of 2025.
Okay.
And possibly tacked on to that, because I don't know how much of the London event will be closed and how much will be open to fans, because it's an academic event with panels, discussions, mm-hmm. students for credit. We're going to tack on Europe and tack on Italy. And Italy is like a top place where fans every so often go, Matt, when are you going to Italy? Or I got to go to Venice, or I got to go. And why am I excited? I'm partnering with other people, working together for the people and doing great things. But in Italy, we have planned to go to several cities that have never had any Bond group, never had any spy group.
Awesome.
And as much as I love Bond and Fleming, we're going to see things like Mission Impossible, and we're going to see things like The Third Man, and we're going to see things like Medieval Spine, and things that happened 1,000 years ago.
That's perfect for us, because we're Spy Movie Navigator, cracking the code of spy movies, not just James Bond. So that's awesome.
That's cool. Man, where should they look for you? What's your website? Tell everybody.
I appreciate it. Bond Fan Events makes sense. It really needs a glamorous name, like Spy Movie Navigator. But for some stupid, churlish reason, I go, well, I do Bond Fan Events. I'll call it Bond Fan Events. So like I'm not going to win any awards for that.
Yeah, but it's a site that tells people what you do. That's good.
Yeah. And when you go, there's photos from a dozen events. And we've been doing events since 1998, 25 years. I've had an email subscription list for 30 years. And all these locations, you'll see hundreds of photos of locations, 100 celebrities that we did. But there you can jump in, subscribe, get involved with Mexico City, get involved with London, get involved with Italy. I'm also working on more events for Florida. I'm always interested in going, even if it's just a friend or two, and they say, hey, let's get together. Let's go to Vegas again. Let's do something. Send me a note. We have many people stay at my home.
Yeah.
My James Bond room. M approves. You get M over
very
here.
Very good.
And, but my Bond room is all mostly Eon props and fun things.
You've done Louisiana too, right?
People love to come
here
for hours.
Live and Let Die stuff in Louisiana you've done too, right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Cool
New
stuff.
Orleans, New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Jamaica, Bahamas, Mexico City, Rome.
That's the guy.
Et cetera. Oh yeah.
No, that's why we have you on.
Always good to have you, man. This is fantastic to have our experts on the show.
And again, it's fantastic. Bondfanevents.com.
Bondfanevents.com. Look for M. That's me, Matt. And we'll have a good time.
All right, that's a wrap. Thanks, Matt. It's always great to have the experts like you on our show. More Bond sites visited and more to come. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you. Thanks to all the listeners and watchers. Thank you.
All right. This has been Dan.
And Tom.
Of SpyMovieNavigator.com on our show, Cracking the Code of Spy Movies. Subscribe to our show through your favorite podcast app and to our YouTube channel as well. Lots of fun stuff there. Give us a 5-star rating, too, while you're at it. That helps. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you spending time with us.